everyone. Welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Today I'm joined again by Hashibai.
Hello.
And today our special guest is Thomas. Thomas, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Thomas. I'm one of the co-founders of Hockey App, joined Microsoft with the Hockey App acquisition, and now I'm the group program manager in the Mobile Center team.
That's fantastic. Now, before we go into Mobile Center, why did you guys originally call it Hockey App?
Oh, so the name came from, we had an open source project with like a PHP server and an SDK, and the developer, one of our founders, he thought, you know, let's take the ad hoc from ad hoc distribution from Apple, and that's the key of the open source project, right? So ad hoc is key. And then we had the open source project called HockeyKit, and then we thought, okay, so we have the open source project, everybody's using it. How do we convert those users over to our software as a service? So that's where HockeyApp is coming from.
I like it. Yeah. All right, now that we've talked about some history, let's focus on what you have to talk about today.
Yeah, so we... Hockey App is a Microsoft product since about 2 years, but Microsoft also had a number of other mobile products. The two in the top right corner here, Xamarin Test Cloud and Xamarin Insights, actually joined us through the Xamarin acquisition earlier this year. And they kind of are a great addition to Hockey App. So Insights also has crashes and analytics very focused on Xamarin apps. And then Test Cloud does real device testing in the cloud. So we have over 2,000 devices in over 400 unique configurations where you can run your automated tests on, right?
Yeah.
So Hockey App is manual testing and crashes analytics, and then Test Cloud is the automated testing.
Yeah, it's right? Very cool. If you haven't played with Hockey, or I'm sorry, Test Cloud before, it's really awesome because there are so many devices and it saves you from having to go buy those devices.
So that's kind of like the first row of products we have. And then the second row is all the Azure products we have, right? Azure Mobile Engagement, originally also an acquisition called Captain. They do analytics and push notification combined. So you have your analytics and you have users, let's say from France, and they're all into football and you want to send them a push notification. You can do that with Azure Mobile Engagement. And then Azure App Service gives you all your backend, your tables, your offline sync, push notifications, and of course identity, like authenticating your users, you know, so they log in into the app and they only see their to-do items. And then CodePush was a project in Microsoft for Cordova and React Native apps that allows you to update your apps even in the App Store without resubmitting to Apple. And the way it works is they are downloading the JavaScript assets that are part of React Native app or Cordova app and basically update the app on the fly.
Yeah, I'm still not sure how that gets around that whole no, like, you know, unknown code in the app, but I'm not going to...
Well, it's fine with Apple as long as you don't change what the app is doing by the description, right? So you cannot turn the Facebook into the Flappy Bird. But if you, it's in a way, you can think about it like A-B testing, right? A-B testing also, Twitter and Facebook are doing that all the time. Some users get a feature and then more users get it and ultimately all of them have it, but it's already part of the app. And in the same way, CodePush can be used to roll out, you know, an update, a bug fix, or a new feature to the users.
Okay, great.
So we had those six products and then, you know, we had the Xamarin acquisition, so we were thinking, what are we doing now as the next generation for Hockey App and especially for Test Cloud? And so we came up with the idea of what's now called Visual Studio Mobile Center, which combines all those products into one.
Great.
And so it gives you all the lifecycle services you need for your DevOps practices, like build, distribution, and testing. It gives you monitoring, crash reporting, analytics, and of course, custom events and all that kind of stuff. And then it gives you your backend, like your tables, your offline sync, your identity.
So whereas previously I could go in, I could say I'm going to connect to Hockey App here, it should be there, then I'm going to run some stuff in Test Cloud there, and then I'll do insights, and I'll create my backend in Azure and all that stuff, and I do each one of these kind of separately. Now it's kind of in one single place for the mobile developer.
It's one portal, and you have one account for this, and you can easily approach all those services through the sidebar, but more importantly, we don't lock you in. So you can still only use build and test and then, you know, cut off the distribution analytics if you don't like those, or you can only do distribution and analytics and don't do the build on your Jenkins or on team services or, you know, on your own Mac under your desk.
So you can still pick and choose, it's just all in one place.
It's, well, it's one account system, one place to go, one portal. But still like the a set of Unix services or Unix command line tools where you pick the ones you like and then you replace others with the PowerShell, whatever.
Awesome. Great.
So let's do a demo,
Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's see it in action.
Let's do it. So it's in preview since Wednesday. So Wednesday the 16th, for those that are watching later. And you can just go to mobile.azure.com to start using it. And on the sign-in page, we have three different options to sign in. The bottom one here with username and password actually works for all the existing HockeyApp accounts.
Oh, that's great.
So if you already have a HockeyApp account with username and password, you can just log in. You don't need to set a new password. It's all the same password, and they're syncing between the two portals.
Oh, so very cool.
Next generation and the previous generation, same account.
Awesome.
Then does that create an Azure subscription for you if you do this?
No, it's right now it's in preview. It's completely free. There's no Azure subscription assigned to it, okay. And you don't need one.
But how do you connect to the Azure services? Like we were talking, there was
app services.
Yeah. I can show you that later in the demo. You can basically link your Azure, your existing Azure subscription into the Mobile Center account. But the Mobile Center account itself doesn't have to be an Azure subscription or an Azure account.
Okay.
But you can, of course, sign in. This is like the middle button here, connect with Microsoft. You can use your Microsoft, Xbox, Skype account to log in, or your Azure Active Directory account. Mm-hmm. And then the coolest option, we think, is you can just sign in with GitHub. So if you, like, I live on GitHub, right?
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Our code is on GitHub. You know, I have my open source projects there. I, you know, check work items and ticketing. So I don't even have to sign in into GitHub because I have a session anyway, right? So all I do is click here, connect with GitHub. I go through an OAuth flow. Mm-hmm. I already did this before, so I don't even...
You don't even see it now.
I never see anything, right? I'm right on the dashboard, no phone number, no credit card, nothing, right? So I already have some apps here, but if you do that the first time, it's the same seamless flow, no confirmation email.
That's super nice.
Yeah. And so the other option, the other advantage of using GitHub is that you did the OAuth flow, so we have access to your repositories. And so let me quickly create a new app here. And I've cloned the Hacker News. So Hacker News has like an open source app on GitHub. And
okay.
I cloned that repo, and I want to basically build this app here in Mobile Center.
And so before you, so it looks like we're supporting iOS and Android. And then I saw a few different kind of languages that it can use. So native.
So in the preview, we support iOS and Android, both for native and and Xamarin and React Native.
Okay, great.
So those are the three languages. And then in iOS, you can see that here we, of course, support Swift and Objective-C. Mm-hmm. So no matter what you use, you can use both.
Great.
And so on the left here, you see all the services that we offer during the preview. And I want to show you the build one first. This is basically continuous integration for your apps.
Mm-hmm.
Now what's happening in the background is we are loading all the GitHub repositories. So here's all my GitHub repositories that I have access to. And I can simply, you know, search for one in the list. So here's my Hacker News repo. And if I open this in a new tab here, I just want to show you, it's really like I did nothing special to that repo. It's a fork of this official Hacker News, or probably not official, but of that Hacker News app. It's an open source app under the MIT license, so everybody can clone it and play with it.
Great.
It's a Swift 3 app. You can see that here, updated project for Swift 3. And the only thing I really did is I basically changed the provisioning profile to use my profile and not theirs.
Yep.
Right? So now if I go back here in Mobile Center, I can click that repo. And now what happens is we are analyzing all the files in the repo, and we will find out it's an Xcode project. We will load the schema from the project. We will load all the branches. So here are my branches. You know, I have the project has two branches, a master branch and a developer branch.
Mm-hmm.
I can click on a branch and now set up my build. Right? And so I didn't do any build steps, any manual parts so far. I literally only connected my GitHub repository.
Mm-hmm.
So I click on setup first build here, and as I said, it's detecting my Xcode workspace. So you can see here my Xcode workspace. I didn't enter any names, right? It found all this in the repo, and it found my scheme. And so that's one important part you have to do in the Xcode project. You have to share your scheme, so it's checked into the Git repository.
Yep.
And then I can pick which Xcode version I want. I want Xcode 8.1. I can pick whether I want to trigger a new build on every push. And this is really what we have been, you know, promoting for the last year or so.
Yeah.
It's continuous everything. So whenever you push code into your repo, we want to create a build.
Totally.
And the cool thing is you can do that with Mobile Center right now for free.
Awesome.
And you don't need a Mac. So that's the other cool thing about Mobile Center. You get an iOS app, and you no longer have to provision a Mac in the cloud with MacStadium or Mac in cloud. We have the Mac for you.
That's awesome. Beautiful, because I know that, you know, as powerful as, you know, the option was before, like, it was still a bit of work to get set up and make it work. Just turning this on is fantastic.
So that's the big benefit compared to Team Services or Jenkins, for example. No more Mac. I buy a Mac on MacStadium. No more installing the agents and installing Node and Xcode and then in Xcode accepting the command line tools and the terms and all that stuff.
And so making sure that it's
updated all happening in the
and
background.
All that stuff.
And so that's super cool. And as I said, we offer different versions of Xcode. So if your app hasn't, for example, been converted to Swift 3, you just pick the Xcode 7.3 here, and that still supports Swift 2, whatever old version, right? So and then. We already talked about these options. I can also run my Xcode tests. So if I have UI tests in Xcode, I can just run them with my build. So it's real continuous integration in that regard.
Cool.
And then, of course, I want to sign my app, right? Because unless my iOS app is signed with a provisioning file and a certificate, it can't be installed on a device.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that works is, again, as simple as possible. I have them here on my desktop. I simply drag and drop the provisioning profile here. and I drag and drop my certificate here. And now, because my certificate is protected by a password, I have to enter this password.
Okay. So,
let's see. Okay. And then the last step is I want to send out this build to my testers, right? So that's kind of like the Hawk app feature set mm-hmm. integrated into build. Now this is completely new app, so the only one in the app right now is me. Mm-hmm. And so I have only one distribution called Collaborators, which only has me inside. But okay. I can add you later, and then you become a part of my distribution group, and sure. then all future builds will be also pushed to you.
Okay. Stepping back for really just a quick second, I know that historically, at least personally, one of the biggest issues I have whenever I approach something like this is actually getting that provisioning profile and that certificate out. Do we have some pretty good instructions there for somebody that's first going in?
I would say we have room for improvement. Okay. We have some instructions there. We have also some instructions as part of Xamarin Studio or now Visual Studio for Mac, how to do the provisioning, the difference between ad hoc provisioning and in-house provisioning, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's certainly, you know, some room for improvement there.
You know, somebody certainly made that about as confusing as possible, so it's hard to make it perfect.
Yeah, so now this is it. This is basically configuring the build, no build tasks, no extensions,
right.
nothing. I do setup, and now what happens in the backend is that we basically provision a VM in our Mac cloud, mm-hmm. and then clone the repo, run Xcode on that repo, sign the build, and then we have an IPA file, and that IPA file goes over to distribution, mm-hmm. and then is sent to the testers, and they can directly install it on the phone. So
Fantastic.
It's a combination of, you know, team services and Hawky app in one product.
Mm-hmm.
So you see here, you know, it all went magically. Now you will see this updating, the build is queued. I can actually click on the build, and it will stream my build log here almost live from what's happening on the agents.
Mm-hmm.
So
actually, the workflow you showed here, it has deep integration with GitHub. Is that mandatory to use the mobile center?
So, well, not forever, but right now in the phase that we have launched this week, it's only GitHub supported, and mm-hmm. we will add more options like team services,
you can use other repositories,
manual Gits, Bitbucket in the future.
I see.
The idea really was, you know, go where most of the developers are and have the preview out as early as possible mm-hmm. to get feedback, and then, you know, later we add all the other
Makes
options
sense.
As well.
Makes sense.
So you can see, you know, the build is running, right? It's running through all the steps that my Xcode build would do.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not wait for this. Let's dive in into the second feature, which is test. So Mobile Center Test, or previously Xamarin Test Cloud,
mm-hmm.
offers me the real device testing.
Yes. Right?
So I want to start testing my app here, and now we have over 2,000 devices, so I want to be able to filter those to those that are relevant to my app. So I think the Hacker News, actually I haven't tried it on an iPad, but I only want to test it on iPhone here.
Okay.
So I can click this filter button here and then pick the filters I want from the list of devices. Like I can pick between phone and tablet, or I can pick between memory and CPU. That's not loading those, so let me quickly refresh this page and see. It's a preview, so you know there are some kinks here
sure,
and there.
That's bound to happen.
That's bound to happen. That's why we launched it early, so we collect feedback, we see
Absolutely.
Where the bugs are.
Yeah.
So it actually should show a list of devices that are available to me, and then I can pick from those. Let's see.
So we're saying 2,000 devices. Did you mean 2,000 types of different devices?
No, so we have a data center of 2,000 devices, and there it's iOS and Android right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we have duplicates, right? Otherwise, the iPhone 7 with iOS 10 would be blocked if you run your test and I want to run my test.
Yeah.
So we have a number of the most popular devices, mm-hmm. and then for older devices, we have less of them, and then for even older devices, we have less, like tiers, basically, of devices. And then we group them into same configuration, right? So an iPhone 7 with iOS 10.1.2 or something, we have a couple of those. So the configurations, unique configurations we have is 400 and in 2,000 devices.
I see.
I know one of the questions I've gotten in the past when I talk about Test Cloud, or now Mobile Center Testing, device testing, is is how do we ensure, like, so let's say I'm running my test on a device, and then Hashi wants to run his test, and they get on the same device.
Yeah.
Is it possible to have some sort of collision between my application being on there and then his application coming in afterwards?
Not really. I mean, in theory, you know, if his application is your application, and they are the same. Although I don't think so. I think we, like, even then there's no collision because everything is sandboxed, right? So
right.
the iOS app or the Android app, they are sandboxed, they live in their own space.
Mm-hmm.
Now actually it's a good question. I don't know what happens if his app is coming with the exact same bundle identifier and the same certificate and everything. But in that case, then it would be the same app, right? Because he can't have your certificate.
Right. Well, in theory we'd be sharing one thing in this dev center instead of mobile center instead of us having oddly the same certificate and stuff like that.
Yeah. So here's my list of devices, and I can click this little nice filter button and say, I only want phones, and now it's updating here in the background. You can see, you know, right now the iPhone 4S is here, the top one. And then I can filter it down even more, right? So I only want devices that run iOS 10, for example. And then I can say, now from those devices, I only want those that have 2, 3, or 4 gigabytes of memory. Mm-hmm. So that kind of filters down my list. I can close this, and then I can pick, you know, here I like an iPhone 6S and a white iPhone 6S Plus and a, you know, iPhone 7. So I have 3 devices that I can test on. But the real power of Test Cloud is this is all new devices, and you probably have them in your data center, right? So the real power is, you know, you go back here, and you can also pick, you know, an iPhone, a device with, iOS, let's see, 8, with iOS 4.1. Let's pick those here.
Right, which realistically is pretty unlikely that, you know, either A, you have all those devices, or B, you're going to keep those devices around not updated to the updated to the latest version of iOS.
Yeah. So let's see. Yeah, it's not displaying those, but we have those. So you can pick iOS 8 devices and then run your tests on devices that are no longer in your data center, or in your, sorry, not in your data center, on your desk, right?
Sure.
Because you cannot keep iOS 7, 8, 9, 10 in all the dot versions on your desk.
That would be a little hard.
Yeah. So I have my devices, and then in the next step, I can configure how I want to test. And one thing we announced on Wednesday is that we now also support Appium, which is Java written tests, one of the popular open source projects. But you can, of course, also use Xamarin UI Test. And one thing to say here is Xamarin UI Test, you can use that with any iOS app, right?
It's the
testing language, not at all locked into how your app is actually written. So you can, you know, write your tests in C# and then write your app in Swift or Objective-C.
Yeah. And there's even a test recorder. So if you do the stuff on the device, it can record those steps that you can then run them back. So it's very handy.
Yeah. So, and then I can, you know, say I want to run all my tests in Danish, right? So now the devices will switch over to Danish and then run the app.
Oh, okay. Great.
And so, and then the last phase, and that comes back to what I said earlier, right? We don't lock you in. So if you want to just use test and not build, we just show you how you use our command line tool.
Great.
We have an open source command line tool. It's an NPM package. You can install it on your Mac, on your PC, on your Linux box. And then run Mobile Center test one with your Appium tests, and that triggers the test in Mobile Center, and you get nice results.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
So now I don't want to do that here. Let me just switch over to a different app that we showed in the Connect keynote.
Sure.
To show you how that looks. It's over here in test. So here's some, you know, real tests that we ran last week. So you can see here my number of tests and how many were failing, how many were successful. How memory was on the devices during the tests, and you can drill into the tests and see the test results. And this app here has some 3 tests, one to just launch the app, and that's really important if you think about it, right? You mentioned the provisioning problem and the signing. So your most basic tests that you want to run after every single build is whether the app actually installs and launches,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because what you don't want is that you create a build and then send that build to your manager or to the CEO of your company, and he fails to install the app and then writes back, hey, Chris, what's going on?
Yeah.
I can't even install that.
That would not be fun.
And that's not because your code is broken, but because, you know, entitlement issues or, you know, your push certificate was the wrong one. Something is broken in a signing keychain.
It's like half of making an application right there.
And so I can just click on a test and then see the test results. And I see, you know, all the devices that test ran on. So the guys here picked a lot more devices. You can see now how things looked on this iPhone 6 here with iOS 8.3. You can see the app, and you can even see whether it was a white iPhone or a black iPhone. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. And then for tests with more steps, you can actually click through each of the test steps and see the results for those tests. You can zoom in here if you like it bigger, you know, and you see all your results from your tests.
Yes, can you test in different orientations if the phone is rotated?
I don't know. I don't know actually. I haven't tried that myself. I think you can code it into the tests to rotate.
I think that's right. Okay. Yeah, I think you can specify in the tests rotate which way.
Good question though. Yeah. We should find that out and put it in the comments or something.
Yeah, we'll make sure we do
that. Nice.
And you know, the screenshots, like having done a lot of mobile development, especially on the Android side, this is fantastic because you always end up having it where things look a little bit off on one device, but they're fine on the device you test with primarily. And being able to actually see what things look like on other devices is very, very helpful.
Yeah, and even, I mean, you mentioned Android, and it's true, for a long time, Android was the only platform where that was really an issue. But you know, nowadays we have this, what is it, the iPhone SE, the small iPhone, the iPhone, the normal iPhone, the Plus One, and then all those iPads and Pro and not Pro. So
it's an issue in iOS now, too. It really is.
Okay, so that's test. So we spoke about build and we spoke about test, and then the next one is your tests are all green and you distribute to your testers. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of like Hockey App reinvented, and we have something new called distribution groups. So you group all your testers into a group, and so here's my collaborators group. That's all the users of my app that have added this developer access, and they can see I can release a build to them. So here's the collaborators group, and then I define two other groups, beta testers and QA. Where I have a subset of my testers or my team members, and only they get a certain build.
Okay.
So that's kind of like, and then again the lock-in thing, right? If I have my IPA file from someplace else, I build it in Xcode or I build it in Jenkins or whatever, I can simply drag and drop my IPA file here. While it's uploading, I enter my release notes and I create the release right from the distribution beacon without going to build.
Great.
And so I mentioned, Jenkins. So how would I do this? So the cool thing, one of the cool things is we have Docs and API down here. I open this in a new tab and go down to API Docs. So Mobile Center has an API for everything. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the rules in our team is you have to build an API first, and then you can build the UI.
Great.
And that means for everything that you see in Mobile Center, we have an API. Whether it's uploading data or downloading data, we have an API. And we have a nice Schrager file here. They can basically see all the APIs, but even better, you can directly try them out from that thing. So from the documentation. So here you see, for example, the distribution API. There's a method to just get the packages, for example. There's one to upload a package. And so you can script this in your Jenkins and team services. And you can even try it out from here through the authorize button. So you can just put in your API token, or if you don't have one, your username and password, and then directly do stuff from this documentation.
Very cool. Yeah.
So that's the API. And now I have my build shipped to my testers, and I want to obviously see data, what's happening. And we have two features here. The first one is crash reporting, and that's similar to Hockey App and Xamarin Insights. It's crash reporting in Mobile Center. You can see crash 3 users per day. In a perfect world, this is like your server uptime. You want to reach 99.9% of crash 3 users. You can see crashes per day, and then you have your symbolic headed stack traces down here. You can click on one like this divided by zero error. You get all the details for that crash. You get a symbolic headed stack trace. You can see the crash happened in UI application line 79. And then, of course, you can say, okay, I'm done with this crash. I closed down the crash group. And now in my overview, if I go back here to my overview view, I can see that this group is actually closed. Well, it's actually not. Let's refresh this here and see if it's closed. It should be. So now it's gone, right? And then I can filter here and see, okay, let's see the closed crash group. I can filter for the last 30 days or for the last 90 days, and then can also filter by version.
Great.
So actually, I'm not getting that. What does it mean when you close this group?
I mean, that's because, the app only had four crashes. That's still simple. You get a quick overview of four crashes. Okay, let's fix those four. Mm-hmm. But in reality, most production apps and crash reporting really gets powerful not only in beta distribution, but in production, in your app store, in your company portal, in-house distribution. Mm-hmm. You have thousands of groups, right? So you want to focus on those that are most important and then either ignore or close the other ones. Mm-hmm. So setting this to close helps me to filter down this list to only those that are open and important to me.
Okay. So it's basically filtering out the result.
Yeah.
It's not like you're doing anything to the source repository to mark a bug as closed.
On Hockey App today, we do. On Hockey App, if you're connected with Team Services and you close a work item in Team Services, we actually automatically set the group on Hockey App also to closed. Okay. That's not yet in Mobile Center, but it's for sure coming. Have linking between your work item tracking and your crash reporting. And the idea really is, we have been talking a lot about the mobile DevOps loop, which is code, creates a commit, creates a build, gets distributed, gets monitored, and then how do you close the loop? Of course, you close the loop by creating a new work item from the monitoring, and then you're back to coding in VS or VS for Mac.
Mm-hmm. Okay, makes sense.
So, and of course, I can sort here, right? So I can sort by the group with the most crashes or by the description by just clicking on the table headers.
Great.
So that's crash reporting. And then the last one in monitoring is analytics. And analytics gives you this nice looking audience page. They can see at the top here your usage data over time. So your users, you can see, for example, here on November 15, my app had 10,450 monthly users and 5,000 or so weekly users. So you can see, you know, how many monthly, weekly, and daily active users you have. You can see how this is trending, whether it's trending up or down. Mm-hmm. And then you get additional data like sessions per user, session duration, and a list of top devices showing you how many of your users were using which device. And you know, in the future, you can already see how this is tying back together into testing, right? Mm-hmm. Because we see here what are my top devices. So right. In a perfect world, I would test on those devices. And that's why it makes sense to bring all those services together.
Totally makes sense.
And then we have this country map here. So in this example app, you know, the most users were in the United States and in Germany. This is where our team is. And then the most languages were English and Spanish and German. And then you also get a breakdown by active devices per version. So you can see how many of your users are on which newer or older version.
Now, I remember that with Hockey App, if you were using the beta version at least, I think you had to turn it off in production, but if you launched the application, mm-hmm. there was something you could put in there where it would go check and say, hey, you've got a new mm-hmm. version. Does this work the same way?
Not yet, but it's coming. So we call that in-app updates. In Hockey App, you get this alert, so users always make sure they're on the newest version. Mm-hmm. Or you can even do mandatory updates where it forces you to update. This is not yet in Mobile Center. It's a preview we are working on,
and it's
coming. But we do have an SDK. Crashes and analytics are based on our open source SDK.
Great.
If you look here on the Getting Started, it's really easy to integrate the SDK because we literally show you here in Mobile Center what you need to add. So mm-hmm. this is here a Xamarin app. So you simply add our NuGet package. You add those two NuGet packages to your solution. And then it's one line to initialize analytics and crashes. And let me make this a little bigger. It's fully modular. So, this is fully modular. So I can pick which features I want from the SDK. Mm-hmm. So if I only want crash reporting, not analytics, I leave out the analytics NuGet and only add the crashes NuGet and then only initialize crashes. And this way, your app stays really small mm-hmm. and you have no overhead, no memory consumption whatsoever. And then, of course, everything is open source on GitHub. So all of the SDKs, Xamarin, NuGet, iOS, Java SDK for Android, and so on, they are open source on NuGet. You mm-hmm. can review the code. It's MIT licensed. You can contribute to the code. And of course, you can modify it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to interact with those APIs you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, like let's say that Jenkins example, that's not the API key you use to call into it, right? Into those APIs,
No, this is the, we call this the app secret in Hockey App, it was called the app ID. This is the kind of thing that you put into your code and that mm-hmm. chips with your app. So you wouldn't want to put your API token in your app because then everybody gets access to your stuff. This is your secret for your app, and it's different for every app in your account.
Right. And so where would you get that API token from?
Right now you get it from the API, actually.
Oh, really?
So yeah, in the preview, let me go back here into the API documentation. You would get it from the API. We're adding it to the UI soon, but right now it's in the API only. It's kind of like to prove the point, you know,
it's that very everything meta. Is I like this.
Yeah. So if you go here into account, at the bottom there's your API token API. And so obviously to get an API token, you authenticate first once with some username and password.
Sure, and then you get the token.
Yeah. Let's be adventurous and try this out.
Very unscripted.
Yeah, I don't remember any other APIs give you a get API key API.
Well, this works because we are able to authenticate the API token API mm-hmm. with username and password, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And then afterwards you get an API token. So let's try
Makes
it out
sense.
And see if that works. And here's my API curl. So it shows me the API curl here,
cool.
And it shows me the response body. And now afterwards, I have to change the password because in the video, you can see the API token.
Oh, no.
And the authentication basics. But basically, you know, the editor can hide it or something. But
sure.
Basically, now I have my API token here, right? So here's my, where is it actually? Response code, response body. Yeah, so here's my API token.
Okay.
And I can, you know, API token for the demo. I can take this API token here. Let's see. And put this here. Right. So now I'm authenticated with API token and with username and password. And yada, yada, yada. And now let's see. We can, for example, run, you know, get my user data and see what that works. And so here's my user data. Okay, could not decode API token headers. So that's like the demo effect.
Yes, there we go.
Cool.
But yeah, it should work from here. You can basically try out the API token API and then all the other APIs.
Very cool.
As well.
Yeah. Okay, great.
So can we go back to the portal for a moment? So here you've seen all the mobile aspect from the build to test and et cetera. Where's the portion for app services?
So this is the good question. So this is the two items I haven't shown you yet, tables and identity here. And so let me actually go to another app. That's a little bit split between the different demo apps. So here's another app, and basically this has already set it up, so it can go into tables, and now it's connecting to the Azure backend. You can actually should be able to see two tables once it's loaded, and identity. So here's my two tables. You can see my data service URL here that you use to initialize the backend part of the SDK, and then you can see two tables. This is the bike sharing app that we showed during the keynote. It's like basically share a bike in New York and ride from one place to another. So it has two tables, stations and trips. You can click on stations, and then you see the table here. So this is the table interface in Mobile Center. You can load more rows, you can inspect the data, and you can also edit the schema. So you can literally click here, see all the columns of my table, like created add, is a type date, and it's indexed.
So this is the same as the old mobile services table, right?
Yeah.
Azure mobile apps.
I was not getting the terms right.
It was mobile services and it was mobile apps.
So technically he is accurate, but
it's
that's
Azure
older.
App service for mobile apps.
There it is, yes, okay.
All right.
So yeah, this is great. The same service in the behind the scenes. It's still the same service, similar as distribution is using Hawkey app behind the scenes, but it's put into that new UI. So it's really easy for developers to discover it and use it together with the Mobile Center SDK. Cool. You don't need to have two different accounts, go to the different two portals.
So you still use the Mobile Center SDK as well. You don't have to pull in.
Well, that's the vision / goal. Right now we are in the transitional phase.
Sure.
So it's basically the Mobile Center SDK and the App Service SDK, but ultimately it will be just the Mobile Center.
Awesome. Very cool.
So this is all, as I said, I can add a column and inspect the data. And so this is tables, and the other one is identity. And what that allows is it's identify or authenticate your user in the app. So, and the cool thing here is it actually works with not only Microsoft services like Azure Active Directory and Microsoft accounts, but also with Facebook, Google, and Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. So you click on Twitter here, and then you still have to go to Twitter and get your API key and API secret. But once you have done this, everything else runs directly here in Mobile Center. Mm-hmm. And you basically can combine those two, identity and tables, and then think about a to-do app where I only want access to my own to-do items, right? I do not want to see Chris's to-do items and then see when he has to do groceries and stuff.
I was really hoping you'd pick up my groceries for me.
Yeah, me too. So it's this is the goal here, right? You authenticate your users, and then you use tables to provide them their data or their offline sync. So tables not only gives you a backend, it also gives you offline sync. So if you're using Core Data in an iOS app, you can use a provider that's offline, and then when you get back online, it's syncing back the data into the Azure backend.
Okay,
very cool.
So what's happening with the notification, the push notifications? Is that still managed by the app services?
So it's coming. It's not here right now, but it's basically and the next step is that we also bring in push notifications into the sidebar,
into the
and you
center.
Can directly use it from here, and then combine it with analytics, so you can say, send a push notifications to a subset of my users.
Cool.
Very awesome.
Cool.
So what's the public roadmap for Mobile Center?
So right now it's in public preview. So basically you can go to Mobile Center. You can actually go to Visual Studio, or let's say AKMS Mobile Center. That's the easiest. So this brings you to our Visual Studio homepage. There you can see all the features. And so continues everything, build 5-star apps. And then also we have our roadmap here.
Oh,
right?
Great.
So we have right now Objective-C, Swift, Java, XAML, and React Native. Mm-hmm. And you go to Mobile Center, you sign up for our waitlist. We let in, hundreds of users every day, and they can try it out and give us feedback. And then we will be in preview for a while, probably, until spring or so next year.
Sure.
And then, open it up more and more. But we also do continuous delivery, so that's not like it's now this, and then for the next 6 months, it's the same thing, and then we launch another big thing. We are launching features every day or every week.
Awesome.
And so it's we're preaching continuous everything, so we're also doing it for our own products.
Great.
So we're working on more features, Like Cordova, UWP support is a question we often get, right? Because we're Microsoft, so where's UWP support?
Sure.
We are working on integration with Teams services, stuff like that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and you can sign up directly from here. I think the Get Started for Free gets you started with our waitlist.
Awesome, very cool. Now, do you have a Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to you?
Yeah, it's actually at Mobile Center. That's the old.
You got to give us one of these.
It's at Mobile Center. So we took the ad hockey app handle and changed it to ad mobile center. Mm-hmm. So we have all the followers from hockey app there, and then you know you get both hockey app support and mobile center support because mobile center really is the next generation of hockey app and the next generation of Tesla.
Now, do you have a Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to you, or should they just go here?
I have mine is Ash Tom.
Well, hey, if you get one of these, we'll put it in the video.
It's Ash Tom, like you know Thomas, and then you scramble up the letters.
Right. We'll make sure we
get it. But I'm not tweeting too often, so you can follow me and not see
Okay, well, now people will tweet at you, and maybe they'll get you to tweet more. We'll see.
But really, follow Mobile Center, get all the news about Mobile Center. We are happy to help you with both more Hockey App, Test Cloud, and then, of course, Mobile Center.
Awesome.
And right now, it's I mentioned that the accounts are the same, so you can use your Hockey App account to log into Mobile Center. In the next 6 months or so, during the next 6 months, we will also light up all your Hockey App apps in Mobile Center.
Oh,
so that
great.
Will be a seamless transition. All your apps will be in Mobile Center. You will be able to use the old Hockey App SDK or the new Mobile Center SDK on those apps, and it's your pick when you want to migrate over.
Well, the concept of kind of what Hockey App had, where it was, I think it was like teams or organizations, will that carry over somehow?
Yeah, somehow is the right word. So we're figuring it out because we, you know, we wanted to have the freedom to reinvent us a little bit. So Mobile Center has some new approaches. Hockey App had some old approaches, and we're working on the transition story between the two. But the goal really is to make it as easy as possible for Hockey App users. We have a lot of them. We have a lot of them that are happy with what Hockey App offered, and we want to make them happy in the future.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and showing us all the stuff that the new Visual Studio Mobile Center can do.
You can just say Mobile Center.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Good to hear. Well, I am really excited about this. You know, as a mobile developer, I think combining all these features in one place is just fantastic.
Yeah, let me just give one more pitch. So go to slack.hockeyapp.net. And then you can join our, we call it the Hockey Camp, and we'll become the Mobile Center Camp. All our PMs are there, most devs are there. You can engage with us. We have a Mobile Center channel there. So come and try out Mobile Center and talk to us and engage with us. We are the new Microsoft. We are really open. We have open source SDKs. We have an open platform with APIs, and we want to talk to you and figure out what you like and what you don't like, and so we can improve our product.
Great. Well, we'll make sure we include all the links below in the show notes. So again, thank you for coming on. This is awesome.
Thank you for having me. That was awesome.
Absolutely. Everybody out there, thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.